Can I say tonight that it is a privilege to be able to join with you here? I'm very thankful for the invitation that was extended to come and to share what the Lord has done in my life. And as our brother said, perhaps I have never been to this church. It is true, I've never been in Rathrylland Baptist, but I do remember Rathrylland on many occasions in my childhood, for we were able to holiday in Cranfield quite a bit, and we used to like to travel to Banbridge for some shopping from time to time, and we always stopped at Country Fried Chicken in Rathrylland on the way home. So Rathrylland has a special memory for me. Nevertheless, I trust it also will increase in my estimation tonight in regards to special events and special times together. But I'm excited to be here. I'm thankful again for the opportunity. And we're reminded as we were driving down just what a beautiful part of the world this is. And we praise the Lord for his wondrous creation. I'd like to turn in our Bibles tonight, if you have one with you, to 1 Corinthians in the chapter 15. The first letter of to the Corinthian church in the chapter 15. I'd just like to leave a few verses from this chapter before we give an account of what the Lord has done in our life. First Corinthians in the chapter 15, and let's read together from the verse 1, and it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. And at the outset of my testimony tonight, I'd like to say that I stand here tonight because I am not any greater than anyone else. And I am no greater than any person that has gathered in to this building tonight. But as Paul writes to the church at Corinth there, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And everything that we will impart over the next few moments is all because of the grace and of the mercy of our great God. And I truly can look back upon a life, and I am able to say with full assurance that the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, and I have a goodly heritage. I was born into a Christian home, and my father was a Free Presbyterian minister in a little village called Clock Mills, just between Ballymena and Ballymoney in North Antrim. I was born into that home when we were living in Belfast at the time, and my father was commuting back and forward to the church. And then at the age of 2, we made the move permanent down into that area. And from a very early age, I can remember nothing else than being taken along to church meetings, being taught the things of God, whether it be in Sunday school, children's meetings, or indeed just in the home itself. And time after time, God brought to our attention the fact that we were created by him and that he had a plan for our lives. Yet there existed in our lives a great problem, a sin problem, one that we could do nothing in and of ourselves about, one that was not at all affected by the home into which we were born. For we must all give up an account of ourselves, we were taught to God. Well, it didn't matter who my father was, it didn't matter who my mother was, it didn't even matter the church that I attended or how many times I attended it. I must give an account of myself to God. And I stood before God condemned because I was born in sin and shapened in iniquity. And I thank the Lord for the upbringing that I had and for this instruction in the things of God. And it is because of this and many other instances in our lives that truly we know what it is to have the Word of God indwelt in our hearts and imbibed within us. For we were taught from a very young age the things of God and of His Word. One of the great highlights of our days as children was family devotions. For morning and evening we were brought together as a family. We prayed before the outset of the day, and then we prayed together once again at the close of a day. My father used to share something from the Word of God and through it teach us the things that God would have us to know. And it was at one of these family devotion times at the age of 6 that I remember that the Lord took a real dealing with my heart. We'd been to church in the evening and my father had remained at the church to carry out the young people's fellowship. And my brother and I had returned home with my mom. And we were sitting in the kitchen just eating our supper. And then Mom said it was time for our devotions, and then we would go to bed. And we were sitting then in the living room having our devotion time. And all the while, from church right through to that time, we were talking about what had happened at church that day. And I don't honestly remember much of the sermons or of the things I was taught that day, but I remember one thing that my mother said just during the time that we shared before our devotion time. And she said, "Our greatest desire is that the Lord would save our two boys and that they'd not go down into hell's fire." And then we went into the living room, and there right before our very eyes was an open fire. And there it was, burning with all of the contents inside, generating the heat for the home. And as my mother prayed and committed us to the Lord for the close of that day, the Lord really took a dealing with my heart as I watched the things burn before my eyes. And I thought that if I died that very night, that I would spend an eternity and an existence such as with which I was watching. And the Lord really took a dealing in my heart, and at a very tender and young age, I remember breaking down, and as my mother finished and then quietly sent my brother to bed, she asked me what was wrong. And then later on that evening when my father returned home, he took a Bible and he showed me very clearly the things of the gospel. He told me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He told me that we were all born sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sin that existed in our lives, well, the wages or the payment that was due for that sin was death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he showed me finally in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, it's by grace that we are saved, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. I remember that night that I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me. And I asked him to remove the guilt and the penalty due for my sin from me and to save me by his precious blood. I'm glad to say he did. And that night, all things became new. For as the book of Corinthians teaches us, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I remember that there was a real change in my life and in my heart at that stage. And as a young person going to primary school, I would very often pack in my school bag or in the pocket of my shirt as I traveled off in the morning my little wordless book. I like nothing better than to get it out to my friends and be able to tell them all the things that they were doing wrong in their life. But sadly to say, my life did not take that course right throughout my teenage years. For as I entered into grammar school and began to acquaint myself with a wider spectrum of people, I also was introduced to the sport of rugby at grammar school and became quite involved in it and was able to travel right across the United Kingdom playing rugby at different places and different venues. It was through the influence, really, of friends that I was hanging around with who were not of the kind that I should have been, that their influence was really beginning to tell on my life. And my walk began to drift further and further from the Lord. And the things of God became something that I only really availed of on the Sabbath day. I used to get my Bible out and put my suit on and travel to church and act like nothing had happened, but right throughout that week I was anything but. One who was indifferent, one who was called out, one who was saved, one who was a child of God. Right throughout grammar school, the Lord time and time again brought across my path people who tried to influence me in the right way. But I always seemed to go back to the people who would pull me away from God, pull me away from the things of God. I was easily led, as it were, in that way, for I desired to be with them more than I desired to be with those who sought after God or people who loved the Lord or sought to serve him. And this backsliding of my heart, this coolness of my heart continued right throughout grammar school to the time whenever I was just about to leave. And during my last year at grammar school, I took my driving test and I passed. And 3 days later, I was involved in a very serious car accident. My parents had just left with my other family to go on holiday, and I'd stayed home that summer to work. And just 3 days or so after I'd passed my test, I drove straight onto the other side of the road and into an oncoming lorry. And the car was written off, and I just remember waking up and my nose was down where the gear stick was and my feet were out the driver's window. But I walked away from that crash and spent a few days in hospital and then at a friend's house recovering. I remember during those days that I thought if it had not been for the hand of God upon me, that I would not be alive. I would not have the opportunity to even grow up to be any older or to do anything more. But yet, despite the tenderness of my heart at that stage, I still turned my back on God and still wandered off and still carried on headstrong after my own desires and after my own way. Finished grammar school and got a place at Glasgow University to do engineering and travel to the city of Glasgow. It was really then, whenever I was away from the influence of my parents, and away from the watching eyes, as it were, of people who knew me, or people who expected perhaps a certain degree of behavior from me, that my life really took a downward spiral. I got involved in many things that I should not have got involved in. And temptations were easily given into. And the devil was having a real go in my life and really leading me in a path that was not at all pleasing to the Lord. And during my time in Glasgow, I sought employment and got a job working as a match day security staff at Glasgow Rangers and Glasgow Celtic. And whilst that had a certain allure and also a certain enjoyment for myself, I was there that I met a group of older teenagers into their 20s who not only did this but also door stewarded in various nightclubs around Glasgow. And after a while of working at the football grounds, they offered me the opportunity to gain some further hours, as it were, and to become a bouncer in one of the clubs in downtown Glasgow. I took the opportunity to go, and the things of the world were very appealing at that time. And after a while of doing this job, I really began to like it. I began to seek after the lifestyle that was there, the fighting, the drinking, all sorts of riotous behavior. But then one night, after about 9 months of doing this, I remember very clearly that I'd had various phone calls home to my parents, and they always sought to try and encourage me to attend church or put me in contact with different people that they knew within that area. And I always found an excuse not to go or not to meet up with these people or not to be in any sort of conversation. I remember one time that I was on the phone to home and we were talking about different things, and then Dad just suddenly said, you need to sort your life out because you're going to wreck it before you realize what you're doing. I just scoffed it off and laughed at the prospect of it and thought, I have it all figured out. I'm going to be able to control this. And then about 2 weeks later, I went to work as normal on a Saturday night, and it was about 2 a.m. in the morning, and there was a special event on in the nightclub that night. Lots of people were there, more than ever should have been in that premises on any given night. And we were, as staff, we were in a lot of trouble because there was just a lot of things going on that we weren't able to control. And the situation turned really serious around about 2 a.m. and they started to call in other staff from other places around the city. But before they arrived, it got really violent. And a group of young 20-year-olds pulled knives from their pocket, began to fight each other right there in front of us. And one of them suddenly grabbed me and forced me up against the wall, and two of his friends came to join him. One pinned me on one side and one pinned me on the other. And then one of them got a knife out of his pocket and held it right against my throat right here. And at that very moment, I have no idea how long it was. I guess it wasn't very long at all. But my whole life flashed before me. I realized every bad decision that I had made. Every wrong choice. Every missed opportunity that I had to make it right with God. To come back to Him. To know what it was to have true peace, true enjoyment, and true life. And that night, with that blade right against my throat, I begged God with every ounce of strength that was in me to just give me one more chance. And God did. I don't remember the circumstances that released me, but I just remember the power that was in these two individuals who were holding me, being taken away, and there I was, free to move again. But you know, sad to say, I didn't stay true to my commitment immediately. But the Lord kept working. I praise Him tonight that He's a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance. The list goes on. He's a patient God. He doesn't reward us according to how we deserve, but according to His great love, His grace, and His mercy. I finished my studies at Glasgow and returned home to Belfast. I was still cold and hard, but nevertheless had a real desire to seek to sort my life out, and also knew that there was no way I could ever sort it out on my own. I must get back to God and to the things of God. And I began to read my Bible again. I began to attend church more faithfully. I returned to home, first of all, down in just outside Ballymena, and then I got a job in Belfast, so I moved to Belfast and lived just off the Donegal Road. And there I met a group of Christian young people who were active in the things of the Lord. And it was there that the Lord really took a dealing with my heart and really beat from within me the final strands of rebellion, as it were. And I remember the night that I got down on my knees beside my bed and begged the Lord to forgive me for my years that I had wasted, and for the times that I had wasted, and for the sins that I had committed. I got involved in the work of a local church there, and it was through this that I got involved in young people's work and children's work. And at that stage, there was an opportunity to be involved in children's work 5 nights of the week at different places in Belfast. And I tried to get involved in as much as I could, and it was there that I met my wife, Jessica, for she was already full-heartedly involved in the work of reaching children in different places right around Belfast. And I'm thankful to the Lord for bringing our paths across each other, for the Lord knew exactly what I needed in my life. And Jessica has been a real rock and a real example to me of one who loves the Lord and is willing to do anything that it takes to follow in His will. But it was through this that the Lord brought us together as man and wife, and we had a real enjoyment in the early days of our marriage, being able to serve the Lord in different ways. We bought a home just outside of Carrickfergus, and we were able to still be involved in the different aspects of children's work and of youth work that we were involved in previous to this. And the Lord really was beginning to work in great ways in our lives and prove Himself and also open our eyes to the great need that there was to reach an upcoming generation with the things of the gospel. And I remember one time that I had the opportunity to take a mission trip, as it were, to the country of Poland and to work in an orphanage there. And I went because at the time I was working in the civil service, and I was able to avail of much time off because the way that things worked in our place, we could get a time off for different charitable causes and different charitable things. And I remember thinking this would be a good thing to get involved in. And I just went on the trip really to observe and to see what the Poland was like and see what the work of the Lord, how it was being conducted there and what opportunities there were. It was on this trip that the Lord really broke my heart. It was on this trip that the Lord really put His finger on my heart and said, "What are you going to do to serve me?" I remember hearing this story of Count Zinzendorf, a young German count who had everything in front of him. But before he was just about to receive it all, he embarked on a trip around Europe and was able to visit different places and different tourist spots. And he went into an art gallery in Düsseldorf, and he saw a painting of Jesus Christ on the cross. Below the painting was a little stanza that said, "Ecce homo, behold the man." And then below it again was the words, and the words read as follows: "All this I have done for you. What have you done for me?" It was through this and through other things that the Lord really spoke to me and really took a dealing in my life and made me realize that he had greater plans perhaps than I realized. He had more to life perhaps than I realized. And I needed to be willing to follow no matter where he would lead. I didn't receive a specific calling. I didn't receive a bolt out of the blue that would allow me to see my whole future. But I knew that I, at that stage, that I must surrender my all to be willing to follow after the Lord. I came back from Poland, and Jessica hadn't traveled with me. And the whole way back, I was wrestling with the Lord. I truly believe in my heart that I had surrendered to him. But I was cautious, worried, fretful about how to tell Jessica. We'd just purchased a house. We'd made different choices that would allow us to continue in our careers. And in our way of looking at it, there was many prospects ahead of us. There was many good days to be enjoyed. And yes, we needed to work hard at this stage of our lives, but we were on a clear path and we had something to look forward to. And I just left it with the Lord and I said, "Lord, if it be your will and if you really have called us to do something, then I ask you to call Jessica and I'll not say anything to her." I prayed this way for around about 3 months. And then in March of 2008, the Crown College Choir from Powell, Tennessee, came over to travel around different parts of Northern Ireland and to conduct some gospel services and some youth rallies. And we were able to travel to different services that they took and sang at. And hear the preaching of the pastor there, Pastor Clarence Sexton. Some of you may or may not be familiar with him. But the Lord spoke to our hearts as we traveled to different meetings and as we heard the things that were being preached. And it was on the return from one of these meetings that we were talking in the car. And then all of a sudden, Jessica just broke down in tears. And she turned to me and she said, "God's called me to full-time service. And I just want you to know that I want to serve him no matter where he leads." And I, at that time, I just looked back and with tears in my eyes, I just confessed to the same thing and said that the Lord had been working in my heart for several months and I'd left it with him and was trusting him to lead us and to guide us in his perfect will. It was through this then and through different contacts that we had with the college that the Lord very clearly led us to go to America to study at Crown College. We applied in the May of that year and then traveled to Tennessee in the August of 2008. And the Lord worked in our hearts in a great way during the time that we spent in America. We're thankful for the ministry and for the influence of the college that is there and for the teaching that we were able to receive. And we quickly learned that teaching is not only taught, but it's also caught, because there's a real emphasis not only on attending class, but also in being able to conduct practical aspects of the ministry right from the early days of your college years. And they have great opportunities over there and to allow students to get out and to minister in that city. And Powell, Tennessee, Temple Baptist Church is a church of over 3,000 members, and it has over 130 different ministries that's involved in. It's been set up in that way to allow college students to really cut their teeth and to gain very practical experience in the work of the Lord. And it was through this that the Lord really helped us to understand what it would take and what it would be needed in order to fully serve him. And that was simply that we give it all to him. You see, we brought nothing to the table. It's not of our abilities, it's not of our talents, it's all of him. Zechariah says, "It's not of might, nor by power, but my spirit." How great it is to know that there's a God. is able to do great things with weak vessels. We praise him for it. But after 3 years of studying there, we graduated and we really didn't have an idea of what the Lord would have for us. And we were praying, and the opportunity came up to travel to England to work with an extension college that Crown had opened in Birmingham. And they had been there in some form since 2006, and they were beginning to build the work over these years that we had spent in America. And by now, they had a church in Birmingham and also one in Oxford, and also the opportunity to send students from America to England in order to gain some experience for a term. And they asked us, would we consider taking on a role there and being able to work with the students that came over, and also being able to go out and to preach and to teach in different churches and chapels right up and down England that need encouragement and need to hear things from God himself. And the Lord opened a door for us to travel there, and we're thankful for it. And during the 3 years that we spent in England, we're thankful for the many things that the Lord allowed us to see and to be a part of. And truly, the days and the times are dark in England, but it is a great thing to see that God is still at work. And even in dark days, there are great signs of encouragement, and there are showers of blessing to be had. And yes, we pray that the windows of heaven would open once again, but we're thankful for how the Lord is blessing and is using people who are seeking to serve him in that land. During our time, we also had the privilege to become parents to two little boys, Josiah, who's 4 years old, and Jacob, who's just a couple of weeks short of being three. And Jacob was born in England, and Josiah was born during our time in America, but we actually came back to Belfast to have him, and then returned to America after just a couple of months back home during the summer. And we're thankful to the Lord for blessing us in this way, and we're thankful that he is continuing to open doors for our family in order that we might serve him in greater ways. But while we were in England, we were able to see many things done. And of course, we were also closer to home and closer to the things of home. And our families were able to, from time to time, come over and visit us. And we're thankful for that after 3 years of being in America. But it was in 2007 that we returned home at Christmas time. And then we returned back to England just at the start, or 2012, sorry, into 2013. And then in January 2013, the first week of it, we returned to England, to Birmingham, to minister there. And in May of 2013, my dad and his three sisters decided to come across, and they said that they were going to come and visit us and then also travel on to Leicester, which isn't too far away from where we stayed, to visit their brother who had just been diagnosed with dementia and was beginning to deteriorate very rapidly, and they wanted to be able to go and to see him just before perhaps it was something that would not be conducive because of his illness. And also Albert, my dad's brother, was the only one of the family who was outside of Christ, and they desired just to witness to him once again, perhaps before he deteriorated any faster. My father and his three sisters traveled across on the overnight ferry to Liverpool, and they traveled down to Birmingham, and that morning I had to attend a meeting, and they came to our house, and they left our house right around about 11:30. I returned home about 11:40 and just missed them by 10 minutes. But then in the course of that day, I got a phone call from my mom and asked, had I heard from my dad? And I said that I hadn't heard from him for a couple of hours, but they had just left the house about an hour and a half previously. And she just said, I feel that there's something not right. I haven't been able to get a hold of him. And then just through various circumstances, we got word that there might be an accident. And I called a member of our church who was part of the police there in the West Midlands and asked, was there any reports on a vehicle being involved in a collision on the M6 motorway? And he called back and he said, I will need you to stay by the phone. You're going to receive a call in 2 minutes. And just after I put the phone down to the man who was from our church, a lady from the motorway central agency called and said, are you the son of Robert Omerod? And I said, I am. And she said, I'm calling to say that your dad's dead. And that's basically what she said. And the words hit me like a brick. My dad had suffered a heart attack at the wheel as he drove from Birmingham to Leicester. And the car had careered off the road and down an embankment beside the M6. Miraculously, and we are thankful to God, none of the sisters who were in the car that night or that morning, sorry, with him, suffered any serious injury. But my dad had instantly passed away. And that was a real shock to our system. It was something that was very unexpected for my dad. Yes, had different health problems, but nothing that was considered to be in any way major. But yet, God had decided that his time was up. You know, we got a real peace. Not perhaps from the circumstances, not even from the very kind words that we heard, but we got a peace from the Word of God. And you see, that's a great privilege of being a child of God. For right throughout our lives, there is a peace that passeth all understanding. But never more keenly, perhaps, is it felt or is it sensed than in moments of great tragedy, moments of great despair. And the Lord really took our family through a valley. And yes, it was a hard thing to accept. But I can tell you without shadow of a doubt that as for God, his ways are perfect. As for God, his ways are perfect. And tonight my Father is in heaven. And he's rejoicing there, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One to whom he devoted a great part of his life, seeking to win others to Christ. And I ask you tonight, what if that were you? What if tonight, on the way home, suddenly, unexpectedly, your life was to end? You see, in this passage that we read together, the book of Corinthians, it says simply this: Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for you. He died not to take away the pain of dying that you might have to face. He died not to take away, perhaps, the circumstances that will surround your death. But he died in order that you might not have to fear death. Why? Because he died that you might live. That you might have life and have it more abundantly. That you might have an eternal life that no physical death can ever take from you. That if you were to die tonight, that you could have this confidence that you would be forever with the Lord. You know, I stand here before you tonight, and as I said, I am by the grace of God. I'm not perfect. I don't live my life in a perfect way. But I'm thankful tonight that I have a perfect Savior. No matter the things that I have done, and praise his name, no matter the things that I may do, he died and he became sin for us, the Bible tells us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm thankful to God for everything that he has given to me. I'm thankful for his grace and for his mercy. I'm thankful that he saw me in my need and came to me where I was, spoke to me, and threw his arms around me and rescued me. And tonight I urge you, don't let anything hold you back. Don't let your pride, don't let your self-righteousness, don't let the thought of what others will say stop you from making your peace with God. We serve a great Savior. He offers a great salvation. But tonight, do you know the full benefit of that salvation in your life? I trust that you will. I trust that you will run to Christ, repent of your sin, and put your faith and your trust in him.
Do thank Johnny very much. I don't want to add anything that might take away from what our brother has said this evening. He has been through a lot, as you've heard. The Lord has been with him and blessed him. And I've been challenged from what he's had to say this evening. He has known personal tragedy. I was just thinking today, and I know I usually mention this at this time of the year, nearly every year, but yesterday was the 7th of March, 7th of March, on the 7th of March 1989, some gunmen come into the little village where I grew up and shot three people dead, one of which was my uncle. And I'm just thinking of Hebrews chapter 9, where it says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." They had no warning. They had no time to get right with God. I don't know where they stood. But whatever way they stood before the shots were fired, that's how they fell. And as Johnny has said, if it had been you in that accident, if it was you facing the bullet, if it was you facing death, where will you be in eternity? It's time to get saved, and it's time to get saved now. And if you would like to speak to Johnny or myself this evening, we'll take time with you and tell you how you can be saved. But whatever you do, don't turn your back on Christ tonight. I believe the Lord's been speaking. I believe the Lord's been challenging. And if he's been challenging you, it's precious. Really precious. Don't waste it. Don't walk away from Christ tonight. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, as we were thinking this morning of Jonah, Lord, we said that you don't give up without a fight. We thank you, Lord, you weren't willing to let Johnny go. We thank you, Lord, for how you wrestled with him and wrestled with him, and for that time that you brought him back. Thank you for the desire in his heart and in Jessica's heart to serve thee. And Lord, we know that if we come to the Lord with open hands and willingness, Lord, you'll fill those hands with service. And so, Lord, be with them in the days that lie ahead and open the doors as you see fit, and grant them the grace to step out again for thee. Do bless them, Lord, and encourage them and their little family. And Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for saving them. And Lord, tonight we just pray for any in this meeting who are out of Christ. Lord, will you speak tonight? Lord, we're fearful of multiplying words. We're fearful, Lord, of getting in the way tonight. And so, Lord, simply tonight, will you speak to someone who's been halting between two opinions? And Lord, draw them even to the cross. Lord, even now. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. We're going to sing 163. "There is our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One." Thank God tonight there is a Redeemer, and we'll stand and sing this hymn together. Do remember, next Lord's Day evening, we won't be here. We'll be out in Anahinchico Orange Hall. Say more about it next Sunday morning. I'll let you know what's happening throughout the week. But do try and come along and support the meetings. There's been a good interest in the area, and we look forward to what the Lord's going to do out in that corner of the vineyard. But we want to see the Lord work tonight, and maybe tonight's your night. Let's stand and sing 163 together after we get the introduction.